Imadagai Gimbai, Biripi Barai. That means welcome, friends, to Biripi country. And it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hello, I'm Heidi, and welcome to King's Kids. This is an Aboriginal program for all the community and people from all walks of life. And our purpose is to affirm the presence of God in all circumstances. We are founded on the scripture found in Colossians 1:15-17, which says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." And over the next half hour, you will be hearing some music, and we will be hearing some of the life story of Tony Dennison, who is an Aboriginal evangelist. Welcome, Tony.
It's great to be here, to be able to tell listeners how good God is and how God changed my life from being involved in alcoholism, armed robberies, adultery, and a lot of other things. Like I was involved in prostitution earlier in my young days. And as a result of all these things, I spent 10 years in prison.
Tony is part of the King's Kids team, and you'll hear from him each week.
Take a dying man and raise him up to life again. What can heal the wounded soul? What can make us white as snow? What can fill the emptiness? What can mend our brokenness? Brokenness. And mighty, awesome, power of the cross. And what restores our faith in God? What reveals the Father's love? What can lead the wayward home? What can melt a heart of stone? What can free the guilty ones? What can save and overcome? Mighty, awesome, wonderful is the Holy Cross, where the Lamb laid down his life to lift us from the fall. It's a miracle to me, the power of God for those who believe. And mighty, awesome, wonderful is the Holy Cross, where the Lamb laid down from the fall. Oh, and my power of the cross.
That was Chris Tomlin with Mighty is the Power of the Cross. I'll now hand over to Tony to tell us a little bit more about his early life.
In my early life, I just want to explain that long before the 1967 referendum, things were quite different for Aboriginal people. It was born and lived on a mission, what they now call reserves for Aboriginal people. And there was no rights for Aboriginal people prior to 1967. And things were quite different then. Like, you couldn't leave the mission without permission of a white manager that lived on the mission and controlled everything that we did. And I remember calling out to God earlier in my life, and I wondered what was happening, because God didn't seem real to me, because in the early life that I had child abuse in my life, and that was from non-Aboriginal people coming onto the mission. But having been going to Sunday school and knowing that the things that we sang about putting our trust in God, God didn't seem to be anywhere to be found. When I remember laying on the riverbank one time and I cried out to God and I said, God, how can these things be happening? And if you're a God of love, and that you're a God that reaches out and you care about us, and yet these things are happening to me and happening to our people, and I just couldn't understand, God, why these things were happening, and why did you allow them to happen? And there was times, you know, like we had things like things that shaped my early life and my belief in God, was that one of my relations was a fire and brimstone preacher. And because we lived on the mission, we didn't have electricity in the houses. And what we did have was street lights around the mission. And because we didn't have television and things like that, every Friday night we used to have a preaching service from my uncle. And he would preach different sermons and that. And he was a real fire and brimstone preacher. And all the things that I used to do in life, you know, he'd say to me, you know, Tony, God's going to get you for that. And he gave me the wrong impression that no matter what you do, if you do something wrong and you felt that God was going to reach out from heaven and give you a smack around the head. You know, to give you an example, you know, that when he was preaching, they'd call on sinners to repent and come and give their hearts to God. And people who would come out for prayer, they'd get them to kneel on the ground and they'd put this red cloth over their head. And then when the poor unsuspecting sinner would have his eyes closed and the blanket over his head, my uncle would take this 25-pound Scofield Bible and he'd raise it above his head and he'd smack him in the head with it. And you can just see it in your mind's eye, they'd be shaking. You know, and he said, oh, the Holy Spirit's getting that demon out of him now. And you know what used to happen? Some of the other believers would come in and he'd whack him with a walking stick or give him a little love tap, you know, and say, well, we're going to get the demons out of them. God's really doing something good. You know, and although we preached about, you know, God's love, but when you see that happen, you couldn't see God's love in it, you know. And there was different times that, you know, these fellas, you know, they used to frighten the God out of everybody, you know what I mean, with their fire and brimstone preaching. Even the old drunks that used to drink, even methylated spirits, they used to drink gum. And they used to drink and lay around near the mission, you know what I mean, and drink this alcohol. And when they couldn't afford alcohol, they would drink methylated spirits. And we used to call it gum or white lightning, you know, it had a kick like a mule. It got them drunk pretty quick, but it would destroy their liver within a short period of time, 2 or 3 years. But you know what used to happen? You know, even the drunks would be lying around, and these Christian brothers would have good intentions, would go out and they would minister to these blokes and try and get the demon drink out of them while they were sleeping on the riverbank. You know, after the Christians gave their brand of love, or this ministry people gave this brand of love to me. And these fellas would wake up, you know, after a binge drinking and passing out, they'd wake up like a Mack truck had run over them. And in the end, they got further and further away from the mission, because wherever they went, these Christians would hunt them down, you know, and they would minister God's love. But, you know, you can't kick the demons out of people. You've got to be able to trust God in all things. And, you know, today we want to let you know that God is God of all situations.
just try to stay to hail the majesty of our King. So lift your voices loud as we sing. Oh, great is our God. So let our songs be
Tony, you mentioned earlier about alcoholism, sexual abuse, and the poor impression of God that were your earlier years. How did that shape your teenage years and your early adulthood?
It was so traumatic in a sense that living on a mission and not being able to go to school with white people, and we had teachers that come there, we didn't learn to read and write, you know, and when I left school, you know, it was so hard and difficult. I actually left home and I went to Sydney and tried to get work in different places. And over time, you know, it led to hitting the grog pretty hard because you were disappointed in things in life. And, you know, I want to talk about how it's important what we say and what we speak into people's lives. You know, when I was a kid, I mean, even Mum used to say, "Tony, you're so rotten. You know, you're such a rotten child, you know, and, you know, you're never going to amount to anything." And not only did Mum say it and the family members say it, but my kindergarten teacher said to me, she said, "Tony Dennison, you'll never amount to nothing. You know, you'll be in jail before you're 21. You know what? She was wrong. I was 22. You know, I went to jail for armed robbery because I just felt that the whole world was against me. Here I was, a poor black kid with no education, not able to keep a job. And when I did have a good job, when things went wrong, instead of turning to God, I turned to myself. And, you know, and I thought, "Tony, the only way you're going to get through life is take it, do what you want, take it. Don't care about anybody else. And don't care what the consequences are." I remember one day this guy I was working with, you know, and I lost my job, and he said to me, he said, "You know, Tony," he said, "let's go rob a bank." let's commit an armed robbery. And I thought it was a great idea at the time because, you know, I was too fat and lazy to break into people's houses and that. And I thought, well, if you want money, you don't go to the supermarket or you don't go to the chemist, you know. Go to the bank where, you know, the money is. Back in those early days, robbing banks was and committing armed robbery was quite easy. They don't have the technology like they do today, but... And people think robbing banks was easy, but it wasn't. You know, there was a lot of work went into it. And as I embraced this life, it led to alcoholism, it led to prostitution. To me, carrying a gun was second nature. And often in that early teenage years, that, you know, I've been known to carry a Colt 45 in the back of my jeans and was always loaded. And at different times, I've also had an hand grenade in my pocket. And, you know, I remember once going to the shop for Mum to get some ice cream and I had an hand grenade in my pocket and a gun in the back of my jeans. And I remember getting a taxi home with the ice cream in, and instead of me paying the taxi driver, he paid me when I got out. People were scared of me. People were afraid of me because I was the person to be afraid of because I thought I was invincible. In fact, the times I thought I used to be the black John Wayne, you know, I had Aaron William boots, you know, I had cowboy jeans and a little vest and a cowboy hat and had the gun in the back of my jeans. And I just took whatever I wanted with a gun, you know, and did whatever I wanted to do. Because life was all about me.
Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds I have have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. How great thou art.
Alan Jackson with How Great Thou Art. We're now going to hear how Tony's life was completely changed.
I'd been in prison for about 5 years and I was released in the early 80s. And I got involved with members of a drug dealing group, people supplying drugs. And I wanted to get away from that because I'd heard somebody preach about how good God was. And things started to change in my life. And then being a man of my word, I wanted to start trusting God. But I felt I couldn't do that unless I paid back the money that I'd already was given and spent. So I set out to do an armed robbery, and I said to a bloke, I said, let's go and do this. And when we got to the town we was going to do the armed robbery was, being near Christmas, we couldn't get a parking place outside of the bank. So I parked my armed robbery, my stolen car, in the parking lot of a police station. And I thought, well, if you can't leave a stolen car at a police station, where can you leave one and come back to get it? Anyway, things went wrong with the armed robbery. The person that I was with got the munchies and we missed the armed robbery. And then, cut a long story short, we just, you know, I wanted to kill him at the time, but I thought, seeing that he was a relative, I better not. He said, we can't go home empty-handed because I promised we'd do this, we'd come home with money for Christmas. So we went and robbed the local TAB. And, you know, I'm a black tracker, and I actually got lost in the getaway from the armed robbery. And I finished up on the other side of the roadblock and got away. But on the way home, we got pulled up for speeding. And as a result of that, resulted in a car chase from the police. And I smashed up 6 roadblocks and run into a few police cars and that, and I was forced into a telegraph pole in the main street by a police car, and my partner jumped out of the car, took my gun, and the police were shooting at him and shooting bullets into the car, and I just turned the ignition on and the car started, and I got close to getting away altogether, thinking my partner was shot and killed. And I get the last police car, and it forced me to go the other way. And having dived out of a car at 60 kilometres an hour, I was injured, I was hurt. And I was hiding under a caravan in this yard, and then the police spotted me. And I remember coming out from that caravan, and I raced through some yards, jumped over some fences, and I hid in the river, and I was hiding in the bulrushes of all places. And you know when sometimes you feel that you're being watched or there's somebody standing behind you, and the police was in boats and aeroplanes and they was all over the place looking for me like dogs on a flea. You know, there was fleas on a dog. You know, there was that many coppers looking for me. And I felt that someone was watching me, and I turned around and I saw this bright light and I could see a shadowy figure inside the light. And although I've been a heathen all my life and a non-really believer in God, and from my early childhood, you know, I had a wrong impression of God, and I knew that I was standing in holy ground, although I was in a river, I remember falling to my knees and I said, God, I don't know how to talk to you because you are Almighty God. What do I say to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And, you know, and I just couldn't find the words to say, you know, and God, you reached out and you touched me and you changed my life. From that very moment that you touched me, I became a new, brand new creation. And then I escaped from the river in the middle of the night. And, you know, God, you walked with me through the night and you talked to me and you gave me promises. And, you know, you kept every promise that you told me about. The very next day, I gave myself up to the police. 3 times I walked into the police station and I said, I'm the man you're looking for. And they thought I was drunk or I was on crack, and they told me to bugger off. And you know what happened? After the second time I said, God, I'm going to go back in there, and if they don't accept me this time, I'm out of here. You know, when I walked in to give myself up this time, the copper that was shooting at me the day before recognised me, and I gave myself up.
You've been listening to Tony Denison with an absolutely amazing story. It actually reminds me of Psalm 139, verse 8, where we are told that if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. There's no escaping God when you reflect love. You can understand that no matter your circumstances, you can run, but you can't hide from God. God's got you. He wants you and he cares about you and he knows your circumstance.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
This has been King's Kids. I'm Heidi. Tony and I will be back at the same time next week to share more of his amazing story. In the meantime, if you'd like to know more, you can visit our website, kingskidsministries.org. Thank you for listening. See you next week. King's Kids is produced in the studios of Rema FM, Port Macquarie.